It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us right now and every Friday at 4 o'clock. You know him, obviously, as one of the all-time great Philadelphia Eagles. You also know him from the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show for the Eagles. Ron Jaworski, Jaws, how we feeling?
Spike, Ike, Fritz, always great with you guys on a Friday, albeit a rainy Friday. It's still a Friday afternoon.
Absolutely.
What's up, Jaws?
So, Jaws, we're having a conversation earlier about the potential, you know, Eagles potentially being without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, you think run the ball more. We're also talking about perhaps something different schematically. You know, two tight ends, two backs, that sort of thing. Is 1 week enough time to implement schematic changes like that for this game? Or do you think they run schematically similar to what they've done before?
No, I think it'll be basically the same, but you certainly do game plan specifically for a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the injuries obviously compound that factor. You know, the one thing that I'm going to look for first is how we handle the blitz of Todd Bowles. And I think you guys have been talking about it all week. Todd Bowles just has our number. He has Jalen's number. That's why I want to see how Kellen Moore is going to handle this blitz packages. And I went back and looked at some tape from the 2021 playoff game, and, you know, there were blitzes that worked in that game that worked last year in the 23 playoff game. So we didn't make the correction under Nick Sirianni from year to year. I want to see how we handle the blitz pressure because Todd Bowles is an exotic designer of blitzes. Now, they're not those zero coverages where everybody comes. He'll sneak a guy or two at the line of scrimmage. He'll drop some out, and he'll fool you. So we want, to me, this is a good template and a good test for Jalen, how far he has improved in this system and how quick he can get rid of the football against the blitzes.
I thought them one of this. Defensively, our mindset, Jaws, would be, okay, you may have some inclement weather or what have you, so now the team is going to run. But Andy was one of those coaches I can always remember. He likes throwing the ball when it may be raining or something. What do you think Kellen does going into Sunday? Do you still look to try to throw the ball, or do you lean on Saquon?
I would lean on Saquon this game. Probably the most disappointing thing last week is in the first quarter, Saquon didn't touch the football. I think this game we got to be thinking 25 touches for the game starting early. One of the weaknesses of the Bucs is their defense. They are banged up on the defensive line. I don't know the official status of Vita Vea for Sunday, but he has not played. He's their plugger in the middle. He's the guy that kind of anchors their defense on the defensive line. So you can run the ball against this defense that's depleted right now. And I would say when you got a bunch of wide receivers who are introducing themselves in the huddle right now, go with the guy that's your bell cow, the guy that can get plays running the game and in the passing game. Give it to Saquon Barkley behind, I still believe, one of the league's best offensive lines.
So, Jaws, you know, we know they want to run the ball, so I would assume that the Tampa Bay Bucs know they want to run the ball. How does, you said, you know, it's on Kellen Moore in a lot of ways. If you're running your offense and the other team has positioned themselves to stop the run, what is it that you can do to still run the ball?
Yeah, you know, football is a game of adjustments. That's the name of the game. What you see from the week before is not necessarily what you're going to see from week to week. These coaching staffs now, the scouting departments are so sophisticated, they break down every single nuance of what you want to do on both sides of football. So, you know, I think what I'm seeing this year is early in games, teams seem to be they're probing the defense earlier with the running game, trying to see what you're going to get. Can you get someone to load up the box so we can get explosive play? So that part of the game hasn't changed. Early in the game, I think you need to test and see what your opponent's going to do because you just don't know from week to week in today's NFL.
Yeah.
Jaws,
look at last week, New Orleans Saints. We're scared to death of that running game. They're averaging 45.5 points a game, 106 yards rushing game. They couldn't pee a drop. Yeah, because our defense made the proper adjustments. I thought Vic Fangio had a phenomenal game plan last week. They set the edge with 5, 6, and sometimes even seven defensive players lined up near the line of scrimmage. I thought a great game plan. They took away the edge, you know, so they couldn't get to the outside. And teams change up from week to week based on what they see on tape.
So then that's actually a good comparison. So we essentially what the Eagles did last week by putting more guys on the line of scrimmage on some level was they were daring Derek Carr to go and beat us. So if, you know, we go into Tampa and they do the same things on some level, eventually that becomes on Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore to not allow that to happen. Right. They will be daring Jalen Hurts.
Yes, I agree with you on that, Spike. That's what I would do. If you got a bunch of receivers, like I said, that really have never played together with a quarterback. I hadn't spent a whole lot of time with them. You know, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Let those guys beat us. Let them try to beat us with backup players, guys that were just signed off the practice squad last week. I've not played a lot with Jalen in pressure pack situations in an NFL game. Hey, you know, let's see if those guys can beat us. I expect them to load up the box early and dare Jalen to throw the football. So, and it's going to be kind of one of those litmus test games for me. You know, when Jalen's got AJ and Devontae and Dallas and, you know, all the components with him, you know, he's a great player. Now, when you find out about great players is when you take away a lot of those weapons, when you've got to carry the load. And I believe he can carry the load, but I think that'll be the approach Todd Bowles will say, you know, we're going to take away everything. We're going to load the line. We're going to make Jalen Hurts beat us, either throwing the football or running it. And I think this is one game where Kellen will have some designed runs in there for Jalen to kind of break with the tendency of what the Bucs want to do.
When we look at the defense, great performance last week from these guys on our side. Can we duplicate that against Baker? I saw this before you answer that, Jaws. I saw watching a little bit of that game with Tampa Bay and the Denver Broncos last week. They got 7 sacks on Baker, and I thought the key was forcing Baker to hold the ball, getting him off his first read. He seems to want to be in a rhythm offensively, get the ball out of his hands quick, but if you make him hold on to it, I think you can have some success against him.
Yeah, I think you got to make him hold the football. That's why early in the down, I think you got to cover Chris Godwin. He's the guy they want to get the ball to. And when they look for big plays, you know, they want to get the ball down the field. You know, that's with Mike Evans. He's big, strong. You know, he can body you. He can take the ball away from you. So you know, they've got a good offense, but they don't run the ball worth a damn. You know,
right.
It's not what they want to do. I think if you contain Baker, he'll drop his face mask and look for plays to run the minute he feels pressure, and he's damn good at it. You know. I mean, you think the guy's improved most in the last few years in the NFL. You've got to include Baker Mayfield. He's playing really good football. But I think our defense line can get pressure on him. He's been pressured all season long. You know, I think he's playing very well, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and you know, doing the right thing with the football. But he's a guy that if you get him flustered, he will make mistakes. So I would load up on Baker Mayfield, and they say Godwin's got to beat me or Evans got to beat me down the field.
Charles, what do you make of, you know, Baker Mayfield's a good example of it, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. What do you make of these quarterbacks who were drafted high, had failures for several years, and then maybe it takes them another team or two to become successful? Why do you think that's happening?
You just put that on a T for me, Spike. This is an easy answer. You know, it's called coaching, COACHING. I've never seen so many morons coaching this league like I tend to see over the last couple of years. And I'll give you like an example. Look at Patrick Mahomes, arguably the best player in the league right now. They're having another solid season. Not a great season, but a solid season. You know what he did year one? He sat on the bench. Mm. He sat and learned how to be a pro. He learned how to deal with his teammates, how to deal with the game of professional football, not just on the field, but off the field. He sat behind a real pro in Alex Smith. He learned the nuances of playing the position. To me, I'm old school in that regard. I think you need to learn to play the quarterback just before you put in the game. Look at Bryce Young right now. He's on the bench. I don't know if he'll ever get off the bench because he's beaten up so bad. The streets are littered with quarterbacks historically that were put in the field on the field way too often, and they failed, and they never recovered from because mentally they were beaten.
I think on some level, it's a really interesting quandary that teams find themselves in because the teams that draft these quarterbacks are the worst teams, and I think you know, these are franchises who are eager to become good again. So the idea of drafting a top-end quarterback and then bringing in Chase Daniel or, you know, when we had Donovan, Doug Peterson to come in and mm-hmm. steward the franchise and essentially almost, give up or to that extent. I just think it's an interesting challenge that teams face currently when they pick quarterbacks like that.
Yeah, it's hard to build a football team, and I think you know, we're fortunate in Philadelphia. You know, Howie Rosen's done a really good job of building and sustaining. You know, the NFL is built for the weaker teams to catch the dominant teams. That's what the draft is all about. You know, you go from the first pick to the 32nd pick. The fall off of talent is incredible. So if you're getting the first player in the draft, you should be getting a 10-year All-Pro League MVP type player. If you're getting the 32nd best player in the draft, you're probably getting a guy that'll be a good player. Should be an All-Pro player, but won't be a guy that'll dominate the league. So, I think the way the league is structured, you know, it almost forces some teams to want to play a young quarterback. I disagree with that. I just said it a moment ago, but that, you know, some teams decide to go that way because they feel pressure from ownership to win now. I draft this guy number one. I'm paying him millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever the case may be. I want him on the field. We got to win with this guy. That's why we draft him. So there's a non-existent relationship that you have between an owner, a GM, and the coach. And obviously, when you start firing your coaches every year, you're never going to win. You are never, ever going to win if you think firing a coach every year is the answer.
Yeah.
Jaws, final question here. What do you make of all the conversation this week with the idea that Nick Sirianni, you know, may overrule Kellen Moore and say, hey, I want this play here and this play there? Do you think much ado about nothing, or do you think it speaks to something potentially going on over there?
I think it speaks to something, but I'm not worried about it whatsoever. I think that, you know, they have a system in place, and you know, I'm sure they discuss it every single day. The head coach is the boss. He's the CEO. If he wants to go up and say punt, kick a field goal, or throw a pass or run the football, that's his prerogative. He's the boss, and you know, if it's Kellen, he'll listen to him. If it's Nick, he'll listen to him. Although I don't think he has a whole lot to say about what they're doing defensively. You know, Nick is still a very good football offensive mind. He knows, you know, what he has on his team. He knows the talent better than anybody. If he feels something, you know, I have no problem with him going up and, you know, going up and say, hey, run this play, run that play, go for it, don't go for it. He's the boss. He's the CEO. I just think he will understand. Take points when they're available. Take the points. That'll be my chance this year, guys. Take the points.
Yeah, won't be.
Yeah, it used to be run the ball. Now, yeah. Now it's take the points.
I think it might be both. We might want to alternate. All right, Jaws. Well, we heard you. You're being honored tonight over at Cooper for all the great work that you do. So
you and your lovely wife, Liz, man, awesome. Awesome. Congratulations.
Well, we're actually in the car right now heading over to the Cooper Gala. The Cooper Hospital does phenomenal work in the whole region right now. And it's a good fundraiser for their foundation. And Liz and I we're humbled but honored that they chose us. And hopefully we'll raise money so we can help more kids and people in our community.
All right, Jaws.
You're the best, brother.
See you on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show on Sunday. Let's go get a win, head into the bye, 3-1.
I got us 27-24.
The win.
Love it.
Gotta win.
I love it. All right, Jaws.
All right, brother.
There he is, Ron Jaworski.
There you go. 27 points?
With who? Not with my plan.
I'm thinking AJ's playing Sunday.
Well, it seems that way.
It feels like he's playing.
So, Jack, you said he's questionable officially and so is Lane
listed
Johnson.
As questionable, Lane, and then Devontae is out.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Lane is either he's cleared or he's not, right?
I think they probably had that last phase to get through.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Hi. OG?
It's a great Friday, man. Spike, I agree with you, man.
On which thing?
I expect a win.
Yes, sir.
I expect a win on Sunday.
Talk to Ike.
And
convince
why.
Him. Yeah.
No. Ike with me once I get this out.
All right.
Yeah. Here's what I see right now, is that a lot of people has complaints about Jalen's style of play or whatever. He turns the ball over too much. But when you talk about that, and then when you reference Patrick Mahomes having it, everybody acknowledges it. They catches what you're saying. But then when they give their final analysis, they absolutely act like they forgot that part. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not telling you guys something that you haven't heard before. What I see with Jalen, the reason why Jalen, like Dan Orlovsky said, he holds on to the ball too long, it's not really a fact there. What is happening is that defenses are coming up, showing him all-out blitzes. And then at the snap of the ball, they're spurting out into different areas, which makes Jalen have to now reassess what he's seeing, which takes time. You know, we've seen him on Sunday throw the ball fast when he's expecting an all-out blitz and it was the wrong decision. This is why a quarterback will hold on to the ball net. But here's what I don't see out of Jalen that I see out of other young quarterbacks. When they throw intercept or turn the ball over too many times, they start to get rattled. Then you start to see chinks in their armor, and then they just start out there just playing horrible. I don't see that with Jalen. What I see is a consistency of calmness. I see something, and then they're resolved to be able to make up for his mistakes. And he's not a repeat offender in terms of throwing the ball in the same areas that he turned the ball over once before. Now, the fumbles, that I cannot sit here and justify with you. You know what I'm saying? He even admit that he got to take care of that. But he dropped jewels that we dropped. The jewel that he dropped was that he says, I give my receivers an opportunity to make a play.
No, he doesn't.
Throw the balls. giving this guy, and that is all every receiver that plays this game, they wish that their quarterback just give them an opportunity to make a play. And that's what I see. So if it turns into a turnover, then so be it. But you
That's not true. OG, we can't. No, hell no. You can't finish when you say if it turns into a turnover, so be it.
Jalen's new nickname is Limbo because everybody lowers the bar for him.
I was with you on a lot of the other stuff, but we got to take care of the ball, OG. Got to take care of the ball.
Let me land my plane, Ike. Let me land my plane.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let me land the plane. There you got it.
I'm sorry.
Like Hinkie could never do.
Now, when I say so be it, but now if you're going to take that attitude of saying so be it, that means you have to have the ability to make that up. You have to. If that's how your mindset is going to be, you better be able to back it up. Just like a person that talks trash on the field. What we say, as long as he can back it up, I ain't got a problem with you talking it on the field.
Right.
So far in Jalen Hurts' career, he's been able to back it up. That's all I'm saying. Now, no, is the turnovers bad? Absolutely. Every one of them is bad in my book. But you better have the ability to back it up. That's all I'm saying.
And you're speaking to his winning percentage as a quarterback, because winning is what people will overlook turnovers for if you're winning games.
Right, that's what I'm speaking to. Because here's the deal, we all sit here and say winning is not a quarterback record.
It's
but
not.
Guess what? If your quarterback ain't winning, guess what you're doing? You're getting rid of that joker. So it damn sure is a winning is a part of the quarterback's aroma. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of it.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't clearly define how he played that day is the point.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I get what you
mean. And it works the other way as well. He can have a great game in a defense. You know, you've said this plenty of times.
Yep.
You can't have a defense giving up 30 points a game, right? So,
absolutely.
And he'll get that L on his record, but he may have played great.
Yep. And that's why I'm going to bless y'all three guys. That's a part of my foxhole, even though I'm not a part of yours, with some T-shirts that says, "It takes all of us."
I'll wear it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm wearing that, OG. Yeah. I wear all your stuff. Yeah.
Now, Ike wants a tri-blend. Jack and I want a Comfort Colors 100%
strictly
cotton.
Comfort Colors.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, Jack, get that in the budget.
Jack probably wants something with some toes hanging out and all that old Jesus stuff. You know what I mean? With the, I don't know. What Jack?
See, Birkenstocks are in.
No, they're not in.
Yes, they are.
I appreciate you.
My curved ass toes? Yeah, they're in.
They're not in, dude. They're not in anywhere. You wear them at inappropriate times. Jack and I are going to an event tomorrow. And we had to tell him no shorts, no sandals.
Which was sickening.
Well,
it's 2024.
It's indoors.
In this economy?
Except,
in this economy?
It's not on the beach.
You can't afford a whole shoe?
Yeah. Idiot.
In this economy?
What a moron.
Here's what I can't think about OG, okay? Yeah. It's that he gives receivers a shot. No, he doesn't. He doesn't take shots down the field. Like Josh Allen gave guys shots. Brett Favre gave guys shots.
Well, he'll throw it up to AJ.
So, sure, AJ. But, he's on pace for, what, under 20 passing touchdowns? Like, usually when they got the high interception guys that give teammates a chance, it's 40 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. That's all I'm saying.
I acknowledge that Patrick Mahomes is throwing interceptions. But you can't just say they're both throwing interceptions. It's just different. I don't even know what to say. It's one guy's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, one guy's won a Super Bowl already. But that's the only thing that's different.
Yeah.
But he's not winning a Super Bowl right now, and it doesn't change.
Sure.
It doesn't change the fact that he's throwing interceptions right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's just like a weird. It's like saying, Johan Rojas strikes out a lot, so does Bryce Harper. It's just like, okay, I understand they're both striking out, but when they're not striking out, one of them succeeds at a different level than the other one does, they're not striking out.
Sure.
You know, also, hit me 35 home runs, and then you can strike out 185 times
that's
a year.
That's why we allow Schwarber to strike out 200 times a year.
Yep, we're Schwarber guys.
Lead off hitter.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, but to Spike's point, he makes up for it in so many other ways.
Right. Yeah.
And what Jalen does is he convinces the defense to play well that day so that he can score 15 points and another win on his resume.
I do acknowledge that Jalen does not seem to get flustered.
So I agree. Let me ask y'all this, though. See, this is where y'all back me in a corner, and I got to fight and scratch and claw to come out.
I knew this was going to come.
I got to fight. But hold on.
Yep, no,
he doesn't throw 30 or 40 touchdowns, but he rushes for 14 touchdowns a year.
He gets his ass pushed.
Yeah. Those should count for half.
Asterisks on those.
I'm glad you losers who drafted him aren't getting those free touchdowns this year.
Yeah, it's like the Ben Simmons created three-pointers.
Yeah.
No, not as bad as that.
It's not as bad as that. Yeah, I agree. I actually have to back Ike on that one. That is not nearly as bad.
Oh, we hadn't heard that one in a while.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
You know what the problem is?
What?
Well, the only reason I looked at it again, I have new drops I'm trying to incorporate.
Oh, so you got
to
get rid of old ones.
And I'm trying to decide which ones I can get rid of.
Yeah.
And I like that drop too much to get rid of.
Yeah, I like the thanks, man. Well, we don't even talk about him anymore, so.
Well, he's going to be free agent after this year, so.
I had to figure out how to work this one in.
I like to do the show blind.
What?
When did I say that? What was that for?
It was like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 days ago.
Yeah. To be clear, I am not a fun person. That's also
you just
2 days
making
ago.
Your own drops. Yeah,
per usual.
So coming up next is actually a really big segment. First of all, if you need to be talked into believing that the Eagles will win, we have someone who will talk you into it. You will be terrified to not believe the Eagles will win. Also,
I think I might need Rios.
Yes. Also, Rios and Itami from Down the Shore is an all-timer. And Dave Dombrowski was on the WIP Morning Show today, and he spoke about why they did not go after a fifth starter harder at the trade deadline, and perhaps what the team is thinking about the importance of the number one seed. Speaking of the Phillies, by the way, we did have Kyle Schwarber on the show earlier today. If you missed it, it was about 2:15. You can scroll back in the Odyssey app on the Rewind feature or afterwards. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Just subscribe to it. We need to get our podcast numbers up.
Need to,
subscribe
yes.
to it. So all of that is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You okay in there?
Yeah, so, Fritz? All right. I need to talk about this. I probably should have talked about it off the air, but now I have to bring it on the air.
Okay.
This guy has called me. He has to be in his 80s.
Okay.
For two straight days.
Okay.
I pick up the phone.
Cal Stevenson getting sent down?
It's a different guy.
Okay.
But also in the Northeast. But yeah, the Northeast is a problem. He has classical music playing in the background, which is already a psycho move. And he's yelling at me about how much the modern athletes make. And I'm like, why are you bothering me? But he sounds insane.
Could you put him on next time he calls?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But like so
he just wants to complain about
how much these guys make. And he wants the Phillies to win this weekend because ticket prices are too high.
But I like that he's got a music behind him.
Yeah, but also I don't want to end up in a freezer. You know what I mean? Like that's an end up in the freezer kind of move.
You might end up in a freezer if you don't put them on the air.
Exactly.
Yeah. True. Well, content's content.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
All press is good press.
We've never needed with a city full of cowards, and I'm here in a studio full of cowards. We've never needed Rios like we need him right now. Rios from North Philly, you're on WIP.
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What up, Rios?
What's up, gentlemen? Hey, check it out. You know what I mean? Bear with me. Just pulled over to the side a minute ago. You know what I mean?
Yes,
sir. You know, got to head to this viewing, but I already know.
Sorry,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you know, condolences, but
yes, sir.
You know what I mean? We got it. Life. You know what I mean? But look, check this out, man, real quick. For October, what y'all call it? Red October? No.
Nah, blood on the grass October. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. It's bloody October. So you know what I need from you, Jack, though? Make it bloody October, Timberland boots, boost to ass to them damn Phillies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can get to where they need to go.
No more Jack? Jesus sandals.
No, come on, Jack. No more of that, bro. No more showing that. No more showing that damn, like that little circle hook on them damn toes, man. What the hell? You got a hook on the toes from
dude,
the
sand, I got curly ass toes, man.
Hey, man, we got getting together, dog.
I've been trying to for years with this thing. He's committed to them.
Jack, just put something. If it's sandals to ass, okay. You could be like, you know, Puerto Ricans are our families. We throw damn, they say chancletas. They hit us with the chancletas. If you got to hit them with your chancletas, man, do something to push their asses to win the championship. But anyway, Jack, hit the music, man.
Yes.
Sunday, 1 p.m.
Yes.
In Tampa Bay against the damn Buccaneers. The team that embarrassed our asses and took us out of the playoffs last year. Also, could be inclement weather or the field may be wet and nasty. just to put that in there to get that out your freaking heads if it's in there, because you know what? It don't freaking matter. Mm-mm. Our injuries, it don't freaking matter. Mm-mm. We still have to play the game, get the next man prepared and ready, and make sure to instill the great ingredient, and that's violence in him.
Mm-hmm.
I only want men who want to compete, win, fight for their brothers, and get disrespectful and violent on the freaking field. Like Chris Long said, let the young rhino go. Speaking on Jalen Carter, let these young guys get violent. Let's go, Jalen Carter. And, of course, let's go, CJ, GJ. Get the freaking tone set. We ain't nothing to bleep with. Coach Nick Sirianni, let me tell you something, man. Coming from a truthful badass, ready to step in the fire, and always did it my way, non-commissioned officer in the United States Army. I don't like when I'm hearing you talk this week and you sounding all scared and unsure in the way you was talking. And yo, coach, the hell with all the elaborating to the questions on what you do. You sound unsure, and quite frankly, you sound insecure. Think that you are the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, the concrete jungle. Go in every press conference and hold your freaking balls. Stop with the extra talk like you're watching Lifetime and pillow talking with somebody. You are the tower that our team takes command from. You got to stand your ass straight up and lead our team into violence. Be a coach out for freaking blood and curse sometimes at your press conference with a mad face and no smile. Unbleep yourself, Nick. Jalen Hurts, let me tell you something. It's all about you, brother. You are on the freaking football field. You are the distributor of the rock. Get it to our playmakers. Use every freaking dimension on the football field. Don't do the damn progressions, and don't damn stare someone down, dog. All right? You got to start from the beginning and be smart with the rock to win the freaking game. The time is now, so let's crap on these suckers. Hey, gentlemen, inundate that football field with blood, and if you taste it, embrace it. I am Rios, the Storm Ranger of Philly. And if you need me, then put blood on the grass. Violent lifestyle. E-O-G-L-E-S. Eagles, let the violence be with y'all, suckers. Peace.
Wow. There's a lot of bodily functions in that. Also instructing Nick Sirianni to curse at the press conference.
Yep, every once in a while.
Yep.
But it wouldn't hurt.
Well,
if it's not cursing at somebody or
just using it through just to get the explanation out to be a little more emphatic.
Can you imagine if he just started using expletives in his press conference without warning anyone?
And then says, Rios told me to?
Yes. Blood on the grass.
Rios told me to.
Violence. Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win. 94WIP.com/Mark's. Oh, no. I'm failing here.
What happened?
Do you more hope or expect the Eagles to win on Sunday? Hope has gone up 62% to 62%, and expect has gone down to 38%.
Hopes aren't high.
No. I even got the endorsement of Jaws and Rios.
Yeah. You know what, though? I like that.
You like that nobody's expecting them to win?
Yeah, well, I have this sort of nervous energy thing that I kind of... It gives me comfort as opposed to being overconfident.
Sure.
The other thing that I do is what you're trying to do. I just don't feel it.
Yes.
The other thing that I do is when everybody else is feeling afraid.
Try to hype them
up. It irritates me. And then I do the whole, I'm not being scared. Johnny Marks, I used to yell at him all the time about
almost
that.
Almost every
week.
He
was scared every Friday.
Your brain.
On the way to the Super Bowl. They're 9-0 and he's still scared. Like
doesn't see it. Hey,
yeah,
it's all about eye test.
Yeah, it is all about eye test. So coming up, we will give you, or in like less than a minute, we'll play for you what Dave Dombrowski said this morning about the importance of the number one seed, and we'll get to the most important prediction of the day, Tommy from down the shore, right after Jack tells you about where he went and got his car.
The only place to go, which is Scott Honda in Westchester. By now, you know that I recently bought a certified pre-owned Honda Accord from Scott Honda in Westchester, right in my backyard and where I got my first car in high school. Scott Honda has been serving the area for generations, including my family, and now they've brought me into their family. So if you're in the market for a newer certified pre-owned Honda, then go where they make it easy to buy your next car. Scott Honda of Westchester, and now Scott Honda of Vineland, New Jersey. Visit ScottAutoGroup.com. That's ScottAutoGroup.com, and tell them Fritz sent you.
All right. So, as I mentioned, Dave Dombrowski was on the WIP Morning Show today with He Who Should Not Be Named, and he talked about why at the trade deadline they did not. And this is all one quote, right?
All one quote, yeah.
So talked about at the trade deadline why they didn't go after a fifth starter, and also the importance of the number one seed, which the Phillies still have a chance for this weekend. All right, go ahead, Jack.
I mean, ideally, if you have hindsight on it, you would say, oh, gosh, I wish we'd have a chance to do something. And, Pat, of course, once you get past July 31st, you can't do anything. This year was July 30th. But the reality is that when you look at, and we talked about it ourselves, we had a Taiwan coming back, and we thought he would be fine. We thought he would pitch much better. We had Tyler Phillips, who was throwing very well for us at that time and then faltered after it. And then we had Spencer Turnbull coming back that we thought would be ready to go into rotation at the end of August. So we had all three of those possibilities. And the reality when we were sitting there was saying, well, if we get a guy, where do we even put him at this point? Because Phillips was throwing so well. And we got Walker coming back in 10 days. So at that point, we decided not to do it. The cost for the guys out there were extremely high, as you could see. But for us, we just felt, well, we still can win our division. We think we're in a position with the guys that we have. And I think that, I mean, ideally, you always want to win every game that you possibly play. But I'm not saying that you wouldn't want to be the top seed because always home field is advantage. But for us, really, the biggest concern was trying to get a bye in the first round where we can set things up the way we would like to.
All right. So there was a report this past week that the Phillies did pursue Garrett Crochet. And Jack had mentioned that he thought they were, but they weren't willing to give up Andrew Painter to get him, which I understand. Jack, do you think he's, when he says, we thought Taiwan would be better, we thought Spencer Turnbull could be in the rotation, and Tyler Phillips was pitching well. Do you think he's just, and I don't say lying in a negative thing there, but none of those things were fair to count on. Taiwan getting better wasn't fair to count on. Spencer Turnbull has been injured for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Phillips, God bless his heart, and I wanted him to continue to be good.
You called him kill mode.
He said he was in kill mode. But all that said, you had mentioned, I'm not so sure that this guy.
More of a quad A guy.
Yeah. So is he just answering the question to get through the question, or is that a real answer?
Well, I think they didn't want to give up the high prices for a starter.
Okay.
And I think they said to them, betting on Turnbull wasn't the worst thing in the world, I guess. I
mean, as a starter?
Yeah. I mean, at least give him a couple innings. And Taiwan did win 15 games last year.
Shut up. Wow. The worm, the Citizens Bank worm.
Is
in your head.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But I think it had more to do with they didn't want to give up the prospects to get one of the starters out there.
Can I say what the real answer is? The real answer is, we didn't know Ranger was going to fall apart because the fifth starter is a lot less of an issue if we had, forget about the Ranger of the first 2 months of this season, mm-hmm. just a solid three starter Ranger. We didn't even get that back. I mean, he can't get through the fifth inning. His arm looks dead. He's mentioned his back. I think the biggest thing, which he didn't mention, is because when he says we don't know where we were going to pitch him, that's crazy, because essentially for the second half of the year, they've had two starter spots that have been open.
Yes.
And really. So I would just like I know he's not going to answer publicly, you know, totally honest. I'm curious whether that was an honest answer or not.
Well, if it is, it's a bit questionable.
It's a bad answer.
Yeah.
It's a bad answer.
Let me ask you this. What would you rank the Phillies' pitching?
Starting wise?
Amongst the playoffs, yeah. The playoff teams.
Yeah, I mean, their top three is obviously top three in the playoffs, if not the best.
So they still have the best, if not one of the best.
Correct.
With top rotation. Four. I mean, but top four matters.
It does.
Well, you won't need top four this round.
Not this round. But
You will, though. Well, it depends. So? Rangers going to pitch game four.
Okay.
Unless they're down 2-1.
Unless they're down 2-1, then you push Wheeler. But yeah. Rangers probably going to have to pitch game four.
Yeah. I don't know. I you know, we debated bat or relief or start. In fairness to him, I think starter was on, we all probably would have ranked third at the trade deadline.
Yes.
You know, so it is what it is. It's just the answer doesn't seem entirely truthful to me. But that's okay.
GM talk.
Yeah, his job isn't to be honest with us all the time. So that's fine. All right. Now, you know, we've gotten a lot of predictions. We got Jaws' prediction. You know, we got Elliot. I don't think we got Elliot's prediction. We're getting ours at 5:30. But the most important one is coming up now with our friend from down the shore.
It's Tommy down the shore.
Yeah, why? Yes, Mike.
Tommy down the shore.
I love baloney.
Likes to thank a Grace and then he goes and says his piece. It's Tommy.
You know what I'm saying?
Down the shore.
Yes, Mike. Yo, Jack. Big baloney business today, baby.
What's up, Tommy?
Baloney is right, pal. What's going on?
I'm feeling so good, man. I'm so fired up. I'm so energized. I'm feeling just nothing but positive vibrations.
It doesn't. You know what is going aside from the Eagles? What is going on so positive?
Well, that's a positive vibration. Look, sometimes you got to cut it loose. That thing right there. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But positive vibration. Look, before I'm excited for the Birds game, but there's a lot of anxiety. I'm always a ray of sunshine. But before we get into the Birds, I would love to share a classic new game day sandwich recipe with you gentlemen. If you guys are up for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jack's doing a whole home gating thing. Tell us a game day sandwich.
Jack, you got to add this to the menu, buddy. Listen, here you go. You guys ready for this?
Yes,
sir. It's not going to be surprising. Barbecue bologna.
Beautiful.
Barbecue bologna.
Barbecue bologna. Here's what you got to do. You got to go to a high-end deli, right? Not store-bought, like a high-end deli, and get some thick-cut slabs of bologna. Thick-cut slabs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then here's how you prepare it, right? Get that grill nice and hot. Real hot. Real hot. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And then you take the slabs, right? You brush some olive oil on them. Olive oil.
Olive
oil. You know
what I mean? Olive
what? That is a disgusting way to say olive oil.
Olive oil. How do you guys say it?
Olive oil?
Olive oils. Oils. Olive oils. You got to put the olive oils on there, right?
Yeah.
You brush them up. You put some salt, some pepper, right? Flip them around. Salt, pepper, some cayenne if you want some, like, spice. If you like spice, add some cayenne pepper, right? And then when the grill's nice and hot, you grill it. You flip it. 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 Doesn't need to be on air too long, right? You get an oversized potato roll, the mayo, mustard, pickles, and you put the bologna sandwich in there. Boom. Instant classic.
Wow. That does. I've never heard that before. Now, what was the first ingredient you put on there before you put it on the grill?
Olive oil. Olive oil. How you guys say it? Let me hear it one more time.
Olive oil?
Oil.
Oil?
Olive oil. It feels better. It rolls off the tongue easier if you just say olive oil.
Olive oil.
I didn't know olive oil is one word.
You sound like you're swallowing the word, Tommy.
Yeah. It's one word. Yeah. It's not two words. The way I write it, they're both together. Olive oil, two words are together.
So, Tommy, you've always been a big Coach Sirianni guy. What do you think of all the criticism that's been going on with him this week?
Listen, I feel that people are being so unfair, okay? I mean, what do you guys think? I'm right on this. Am I not?
Yeah.
I mean, is this fair, what's happening to Coach Sirianni?
Ike and I are on your side here. Yeah, it's not fair.
It's only three of us.
Jack, you know, so Ike and Spike, you guys, you know, you feel some compassion for Nick Sirianni, but Jack, you don't feel that way? I don't understand.
No, I don't. have you heard him talk?
Well, listen, okay, let's be fair, all right?
He says olive oil.
If he says olive oil, he's a good man. He's a good guy. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Listen, when he first came to town, right, he did that first press conference. I'll be honest. I was like, man, this guy ain't the brightest bulb on the branch. You know what I mean? That was my first impression. Okay?
The brightest bulb on the branch?
Brightest bulb on the branch. It's a figure of speech, right?
What is this, a Christmas
a figure
tree or
something?
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly how it goes, but go ahead.
Brightest bulb. It's an old-timey
Yes. Before, right. when lights grew on trees. Yes.
Exactly. In the olden days. But over the last few seasons, he's won me over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had a good record. We went to a Super Bowl. Even this season, I'll admit, he's making some mistakes. But in all honesty, like, you know, we're 2-1, so there's no reason to panic just yet, right? Am I not right about this?
I don't think that we should panic. I agree with you.
You're right.
I hear so much resentment towards Coach Sirianni. as a show of love and support for Nick Sirianni, for Coach Sirianni, I would like to sing a brief rendition of the Growing Pains theme. Remember the show Growing Pains?
Yeah, of course.
Wonderful show. And I feel like this little tune expresses compassion.
Okay.
In solidarity with Coach Sirianni. Here we go. Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. Best is ready to begin. As long as we got each other.
Ooh.
We got the world spinning right in our hands, baby, rain or shine. All the time, we got each other, sharing laughter and love.
Oh, yes. Well done.
I make taco soup sometimes for my family.
You know,
I got one question. Did Alan Thicke actually write that theme song?
I don't know. That was amazing.
He wrote a lot of theme songs.
Oh, did he?
I think he wrote that one. Or he wrote, not Webster, but the other one. He wrote another big hit show. Different Strokes.
Different Strokes.
Different Strokes, right? He might have, nice background too on that, Spike. And nice little call and response.
Yeah. You said not Webster, but the other one, and then it'll be Different Strokes. What do you mean by the other one?
Well, the other show with the little black kid on it. Yes, we got it.
Another classic show. You know what I mean?
All right.
See, Spike did that to you. I knew what you meant by it.
Thank you, Roy.
All right, Tommy.
I'm trying to stir something up.
No, not at all. I don't want you on Jack's side. I want you on this side. So give us your prediction for the game.
Listen, I feel like this week is going to be a turning point, okay? I feel like Jalen is going to come into his own. We're going to go down there. This is going to be a pivotal moment in the season. I'm going 37-17 Birds.
Yeah! 37. There we go.
We did it!
Yeah, baby.
If they score 37 points, I'm
bologna barbecue sandwiches for everyone. Yeah.
I tell you what, I don't want to say that because I'm not going to do it.
Olive oil over our heads.
Yeah, olive oil.
Listen, take it to the back. Olive oil, bologna sandwiches, 37 points. It's a lock.
All right, Tommy.
I love it.
Love you, brother.
Thanks so much, fellas. Love you guys. You guys are the best. I'll talk to you next week. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Olive oil.
Tommy. You know what I'm saying? Down the shore.
Olive oil.
Olive oil.
Olive oil.
Let's just say this is not the time to be pouring oil on yourself.
Right.
Yes.
In bulk.
Oh, right. Yeah. You don't want 1,000
bottles.
I don't
care
how close you live to Costco.
They blamed Big Justice and AJ for that.
Oh, really?
They got drug into it.
Yeah. Well, who knows what's going on with those guys' parties. All right. Everyone's favorite part of the WIP afternoon show, the top 5 of 5, is next. Jack, what can we expect?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Well, I know. That's on me. Donovan Chestnut.
Yeah.
Someone cursed on the air today.
Oh,
most notable curses on WIP.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one. Oh boy, that's dangerous. You picked the day Rod's not in the office. Clearly,
I know to run this. Yes.
Well, I did clear it with him, so we're all good.
Okay. All right, that is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.